Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you is John Ramos. Also joining us this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. Give a shout out to all of our listeners. We want to encourage you and let you know that these are days to be so excited about because so much prophecy is being fulfilled, which means our Lord is soon to return. We want to stay awake. We want to be the five virgins that are have wide awake eyeballs, wide awake hearts, full lamps, trimmed wicks, and leaning forward. And we don't want to be the ones that say, I got time to buy some oil. You won't have time.
Yep.
How do you feel that lamp? Abiding. Abiding. Oh, this is it. I see him. He's coming at a distance. Think about it. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, our Lord will return. When you see these things happening, when you see them happening, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. God is good. He told us about this day early on, and now you're seeing it take place in your sight. Come, Lord, quickly, come. Come. Give a shout out to our new listeners that joined our virtual audience today. I want to say welcome to John and Loretta and Jamie and Ginger and Ray and Ephraim and Tom and Grace and Linda and Carrie and Ahmad, David, Linda, Nicholas, Laura, Keith, Warren, Eleanor, Don, Pam. Oh my goodness, Charlotte and Nancy and Robert and Jim and Cheryl and Charles and Loretta and Ken and Ken and Joy and David and Kevin and Lorraine and man, just welcome, welcome. We can't even name you all, but we're so glad that you're joining us in the virtual stadium, the VFN TV, the daily radio program stadium. We are here to encourage you. We've been praying for you. Listen, there is hope. It's the voice of the Lord. Be strong, be courageous, for the Lord thy God is with thee. You are listening to VFN Radio. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning on VFN Radio to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Pat. Also joining us this morning is John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing good. I see that you got your hair in a ponytail. That stuff's growing out now.
Well, I was following Pat's example, you know, the hair products and right. What he's got going on. I'm thinking, I got to catch up. You know what I mean?
I was listening, actually, you know, to the marathon weekend early this morning. I was listening to, you know, everybody. I mean, you'll never be able to find Pat out there because you're looking for somebody with an 8-inch waist, rides on a limousine, has a gold credit card that he gives to his usher to buy his hair product.
Right, right.
And he's nothing like this, by the way. Nothing like this. He lives in the cloud, all these different things. My goodness. We're just trying to keep him camouflaged.
we need to keep him going.
That's right. You know, this, like this morning when I was riding to work on my tricycle, I thought, you know, I need a different car. But then when I looked what Pat was driving, he almost ran over. He couldn't see me down there, my little trike. Hey, I got a chance to ride my motorcycle this weekend.
You did?
Yeah, went to go see, Brother Ken, my spiritual father, Ken Summerall. And it was like riding a bucking bronco.
Not again.
It was again. Yeah. Exactly. Remember, I told
serious?
You when I was riding, you know, I was in the middle of nowhere. My iPhone was down to about like a half of a percentage of juice. I had like a half a bar of connectivity. I'm buzzing. I have my my helmet on, and I'm listening, of course, to VFN radio and just being encouraged. And all of a sudden, the bike
And the phone goes, blah, 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 blah. <It's> like, right between two crack dealers.
Oh, that's great.
No, but really, I mean, they were actually, it was amazing. Because I was like, I want to explore this area, this unknown area in this, I mean, it's country. I mean, who would ever thought there'd be drug dealers in the country, right? It's called Naive. Yeah. And that's where they cook the stuff. Right. Anyway, so here I am. Also, my motorcycle just starts bucking and jumping and stuff like I told you about. And I'm not that good at this yet. This is not time to have a bucking Bronco, you know. I just
is the video camera when we need one.
Oh, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Believe me, we'll see it again with facial recognition. They'll even attach it to you.
Yeah, like, right.
Make a weird smile when they're actually filming you. They won't recognize you. The according to New Jersey driver's license laws, you know, you can't smile because the facial recognition thing won't work.
Right. All right.
The And so I'm going to see Brother Ken, and I'm on my bike, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful, you know, the Emerald Coast, the beautiful blue skies, you know, birds flying in formation over me. No, that's not a positive thing, by the way.
No.
Because they have deposits. Anyway.
They didn't drop nothing.
Yeah, they didn't drop anything. And I get out on the major highway, and... Right. Okay, don't compare highways. And so, I mean, it was two lanes of traffic. And it's really difficult, you know, down here. Anyway, so.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep
you're on a motorcycle and you're thinking about texting and driving. And people are, they don't look ahead. Right. You just got to watch out, dodge people who with their texting phones on your motorcycle. And it just starts firing like, bam! Bam! You know, shots fired. It was jumping, you know, and it was just doing all this crazy stuff. And I'd taken it to my friend to work on it, David. And David worked on it the first time it was doing it. And he said, it's just got water in the gas because they have so much ethanol in the gas today. That's basically just water.
Mm. Wow.
The alcohol in your gas is water. That's why you have to put, like, treatment in your gas to get rid of the ethanol.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so it was spitting corn out the back of the muffler.
Pat, is that what you put in the limousine treatment?
He don't know. He just, the windows are tinted. The back window's not big enough to look back there. You know, he just kind of keeps watching his cable and his limousine. No, the the news. No, he watches the Saints. He is the fan.
That's correct.
One and the only fan.
The one, no, I think Drew's now back again. I understood. He's a fan again. But, it was bad, man. It was literally just jumping. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll just turn off and I'll go back. And I thought, no, I am going to see Brother Ken. I'm going to go. I am going to go see him. And so I took back roads.
Oh,
I'm
my
thinking, man, I'm going to set woods on fire. I got fire flying out. Pow, pow. And I said, man, this is exciting. It's like a Bronco or something. I pulled off to some place, got some treatment stuff. And they said, you know, how much did you put? I said, how much did you put in there? I can't see the print. And he
can't
said,
see what?
I couldn't see the print. It's a small little thing, you know.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm wearing contacts. You know, when I drive my motorcycle, I wear contacts. And I put in my good eye. And I tell you this, I could see far away with my contacts, but I didn't even know I was even on a motorcycle.
Oh,
I can see it.
That's like
no. And I pulled off to this auto place and did what my friend told me to put in. I put some treatment in there, and it just accelerated the problem.
Made it worse.
Oh man, it was firing shots, and I pulled on, you know, major highway, and it started to stall. And of course, they're probably thinking, this guy don't know how to ride a bike. It was a good challenge. It kind of really just, you know, brought out all my skill. I would say skills. The skill was to stay alive in traffic while you're rolling at 1 mile an hour trying to restart your bike. And so I had to shake my bike. I had to shake my bike and get my tank all mixed up, you know, mix up my fluids and stuff. And then when I got there, you know, to see Brother Ken and just got a chance to spend some time with him, that I always use this as an excuse. I'm saying, you need a Baconator, don't you? A Baconator, because I never have these bacon. I really don't think bacon goes good with hamburgers unless it's that Baconator thing. It just, to me, it doesn't cross good.
What's a Baconator?
A Baconator is a heart attack between two
buns. Oh, one of those.
It's at Wendy's, a number whatever. You know.
Mm. Yeah, that was a donut.
We converted. Oh yes, we've converted our food, by the way, in America to numbers. We can't even go, I would like a hamburger and a French fry. We just go, I want a two. I mean, it takes all the joy of food is out, right?
Oh.
And so she says, is that a four or a five? And I'm like, I don't know. And I had to study the pictures and look at the words because she wasn't going to tell me. And I found out that a five has three pieces of meat on it and bacon and cheese.
No. Oh my goodness.
I'm thinking, okay, no, I want the lighter diet version. The two pieces of meat with bacon.
And it's expensive, my goodness.
It was amazingly expensive. But you know, this is for Brother Kent. So it didn't
matter. Oh great, give him a bacon.
And I wanted to get one so we could eat it together. And of course, if everybody's listening, going, you're giving him a bacon.
I know.
We've been eating these for a while, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
And made it back, but it started to break down again or act up. And so I actually called you up or shot you a text on my last bar again on my phone. Hey, if you don't see me in the next 2 days, I'm on the street walking somewhere. You can't park your bike and lock it up and walk somewhere. I mean, it's your bike and it's not like a car. Mm. You probably sure couldn't do it in New York in the city right there, right? Could y'all watch my bike? I'll be back tomorrow.
Right.
And
watch right back into the back of our van.
Yeah, and that's when it stopped on Davis Highway, the busiest traffic place in town, and in the median, because they had to turn in the median to be able to get to the Baconator store. And it was just amazing. It was a journey. It was a journey. And so I had to take my bike to get fixed, and I'm glad I found out it has these issues now before the future. You know, the reason why I got it.
Oh my
so
goodness.
I had an adventure on my bike this weekend.
Well, guess who I actually met this weekend? You're going to be surprised. I had a chance to meet Tim Tebow.
No!
Get out.
Actually, it was Tim Tebow lookalike, but it was close. It was close. I got to tell you this.
How can anything be close to Tim Tebow? Oh, my God. Goodness.
It was close. I walked into the AT&T studio, had to upgrade her phone.
I mean, Tim's right close to you. Why you got to find a lookalike?
I know it.
Go to his house.
His name is Jonathan, by the way. Jonathan. Jonathan, you probably listen. I'll give you a shout out to Jonathan. This guy only looked like Tim Tebow, but dude, the guy was ripped, had the guns. I mean, this was such a nice guy. And I want to give a shout out to him because he really was knowledgeable. I love dealing with
people. I know this is Jersey and you're talking about guns. You probably need to define that a little bit more. He ripped somebody off and he had guns?
He had these massive arms. You know what I'm saying?
Ripped and guns. I was making sure nobody was ripped off. It's not a good word to use in New York City when the gun bans in Jersey.
Yeah, right. It was hilarious. I said, you know who you look like. Right. Well, the first thing I said to him, he said, you know who you look like, right? He says, yeah, I know. Tim Tebow. He's like, yeah, I know.
Are you serious?
Yeah. The whole store calls me
Tebow.
Did
you take a picture?
Actually, I didn't. But,
so maybe if you're making all this up, we don't believe you.
You're making this up?
Jonathan, you listening? Jonathan, because I turned them on to VFN. I turned on to VFN radio.
Tell him to send us a picture.
Downloaded the app. But he was very knowledgeable, and I really appreciate it. He did a great job. But I'm gonna get you the picture.
Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and you already like it. It's got the when you turn on your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're gonna have. The recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series. Mm-hmm. And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also original intent. And,
right.
Wisdom moments and
prophetic words,
and those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetize. But then at the bottom, you can choose live, like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. And we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king, as his kingdom and the safety of his people. Because he said, you know, it's going to be in the last days, you know, before the Lord, when the Lord returns, it's going to be just like the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be just like the days of Lot, which means this, that you can't use society as a grid for righteousness.
Right.
You can't look at people and decide where you are in God, because in Noah's day, everybody but him and his family, means more people are going to be against God than for God. And it's really interesting because he says people will be marrying and doing business and all these different things. But understanding that God's created each of us to have our own operating system, that we can choose to submit that operating system to God through his son, Jesus Christ, or we can take it ourselves and do what we want to with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means then we can function in life and look just like other people, but we are our own God, or we're worshiping something else other than God. And you can't think just because somebody's doing business or somebody's getting married that everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You always wondered, I was just recently thinking, you know, can you imagine all this stuff is going on, the Lord's about to return, and you look around, and when you look around, if you just kind of put yourself the days of Noah, what it's going to be like at any moment when the Lord returns in a twinkling of an eye, that if you looked around and saw, what you'd be seeing is people just going about their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be...
like nothing's going on. Everything is normal. Yeah.
They'll be, you know, talking about their most recent reality program. They'll be talking about, you know, this is my checkoff list for the spouse that I want to marry. You know, somebody else is talking about their business ideas or advancing their whatever. And then you'll have just things that God says is wrong. Mm-hmm. It separates mankind from him, which is sin, will be normal. They won't look at it as like, this is terrible. It'll be integrated into the lifestyle to the point is that wrong looks right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right is called wrong.
Right.
And so you'll be an oddball. You will look strange. You know, you'll look like Noah building an ark. What are you doing? Because most people aren't even thinking about it. They're not even thinking about the Lord's return.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at what's going on and how quickly, I mean, the issue with the progression of things is God chose to give mankind authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so men have to buy into and choose to surrender their authority to something,
mm-hmm.
or someone or themselves or to God. Mm-hmm. And so you have to get them. That's why they spend billions of dollars in elections in America, because they're trying to get you to buy in and vote for their particular candidate.
Right.
They know they can't get in office unless you buy in. But if they can get you to buy in, then get in office. They have to involve you in the process. Even kings, even dictators know this, because they know, I mean, why would any dictator try to make their people happy? Because they know if enough people's against them, they won't be around long.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to get people to buy in. Like you look at Chavez down in Venezuela. I mean, he has a socialism type thing going, but he's realizing, you know, yes, people has to buy in. They have to buy into his leadership. Well, it's the same thing with God. You know, God asks us and introduces his kingdom to us, but we have to say, I want I'm surrendering my authority to you. I'm buying in. I'm sold out for you. Mm-hmm. Here's my operating system. I know it's going to take a while to reprogram me, you know, and transform me, you know, but here I am. You're my Lord. You're my God. Well, Satan has to do the same thing too. Satan has to get people to buy in, you know, but the thing about, you know, Satan is divided amongst himself, mm-hmm. and normally people that are held captive by, at the adversary, it's tough for him because they're in it for their own reasons. So they'll eventually be divided from even Satan's plans. I mean, there's always this division and strife and all that. So he has to get enough of them to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he could just flip a switch, and then evilness would just be rampant across the world. But he can't. He has to first preach his gospel, and broadcast his imagery and present his idea: socialism, Marxism, communism. You know, government can be your God and these different things, and we'll replace all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the church, if we, which is people, if we're not broadcasting the kingdom of God, if we're not speaking about the light and telling people that they need to turn their operating system over to light, to Jesus Christ, then darkness wins out.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness wins out. It's not like there's no default here. I mean, yeah, or the default sin and darkness, but Satan has to get mankind to buy into his dark schemes, and God will not force you to buy in or to invest in or surrender yourself to him. He waits for you to choose him,
mm-hmm.
and people will love to be forced. They're like, just tell me what to do. Okay, go seek God and decide.
Yeah.
No. Well, how do I go? You need to find God. And you need to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. Just tell me what he said. He said, go abide with him, hear his voice, and follow him.
Right.
Right. I'll just follow you. No, you follow God. And the fact that we're both following God, we will be together.
That's right.
That will unite us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's a difficult thing for religion to do. And so you have this battle going on between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And we have to decide as a church, are we going to be the light of the world? Or are we going to let darkness just reign?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a thing called the Dark Ages. They talk about the Ice Ages. Well, think about the Dark Ages.
Right.
That's when the church just kind of surrendered over to darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you that during this time, you know, make sure that your operating system, make sure your heart is just surrendered to God, and realize you got to get discipled, and which means you got to know what Jesus says and his teachings, and you got to abide with him, because if you abide with him, he will give you by his Spirit the power to walk out what you couldn't do in the first place. And then you go tell people about Jesus. We're going to talk about in the next half hour about, you know, rethinking church, you know, rethinking it. And what happened, we're going to talk about, is that the church has been institutionalized.
Mm.
It's been institutionalized, and it does not know how to function outside the institution.
Mm.
And it's terrified. It's terrified. Mm. And it just rather stay in captivity because it knows how things operate there than to go out where there's lions, tigers, and bears. Or what Jesus said, that watch out for men.
Mm-hmm.
They'll kill you.
Right.
He says, be as wise as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove. I'm right. sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. And so somebody says, well, I can't go outside the institution because there's wolves out there. And Jesus said, no, I'm sending you out. And so we're going to talk about, you know, rethinking church. But I want to encourage you this morning that, you know, begin to believe God, that to obey the Great Commission to being light in this darkness. Begin to realize people have to buy in. They have to decide to follow light. They have to decide to follow the kingdom of light and follow Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, we're to be the light of the world. So that is our responsibility. That's how light comes into the world. It comes from within you, and it comes out of you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. If you want to spread the kingdom of God, you got to be spread. Mm-hmm. If you want light to be in the world, the light has to come out of you as a believer. And if you just have an undiscipled walk in God, then you have a seed of the kingdom in you. But if you have a discipled walk with God, then you have the kingdom growing inside of you and overtaking your life. And you're set free, by the way, when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you this morning. Realize that there is a battle plan. It's a spiritual battle plan, and you are a soldier in that battle plan. If you're a believer, you're not called to keep on doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results and firing the next preacher man because he didn't do what you were supposed to do. It's time for you to realize that the fivefold ministries is there to train you up to do works of service. You've only been institutionalized. That's all. You've been in captivity. But it's time for you to be set free. We'll be right back.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like.
Wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John and Pat. We were just talking about, you know, making sure that you're getting yourself set up to be the light of the world, because even though there's gross darkness and it's going to be like the days of Noah when the Lord returns, that people are going to be drawn to the light that's in you. They're going to be drawn. It's not that you get more brighter. It's the fact that you look more obvious when everything gets darker. You know, just keep on doing what's right. The biggest warfare you can do as the church, which is a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, is to do what's right and to consistently do what's right in view of God's mercy and grace. We're not talking about perfection here, but we're talking about, you know, you're steady. You're steady in God and you're stable. And believe me, as things start shaking and things people stand on that they've trusted in begin to quake and shake, your stability is going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to really stand out.
That's right.
As it did when Noah was standing on the ark.
That's right.
I mean, really, can you imagine? It's like, that's the only floating thing around here. I mean, think about it. There wasn't even a tree to hang on to for 40 days. Not even a dinosaur. They were too heavy to float. Whole nother topic. We're going to talk about rethinking church, you know, rethinking it. Just the statement alone, if you were held in captivity to religion, just puts a shiver up your spine and causes you to, like, we're not supposed to think about this. We're just supposed to do it.
That's right.
But you understand it. If what you're doing is right and is of God and is written in the script, if it's in the lines of the Bible, then you're just going to be encouraged.
That's right.
And if it's not, you'll know where you need to change things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't have a committee meeting, you know, have a prayer meeting. and just say, you know, we need to rethink this. And let's just talk about rethinking church. First, I want to talk about a particular movie. I've only seen the version of this movie because I heard there's another version of it, but I've seen kind of like the television version of it. Mm-hmm. And it could just speak on so many levels to a church being held in captivity. And it's called Shawshank Redemption. And it's about prisoners that are in prison. I think it starts out with a particular man who gets convicted of a murder that he didn't do. Mm-hmm. And but they spend all this time in prison. And in it, you know, and I can't tell you what version. I just encourage you to get Clear Play and watch it with that. Then you don't know. But but it's powerful. Because we need to rapidly get this. This is why I'm talking like this. We need to rapidly, we don't have time to go, okay, let's just ponder this for the first quarter of the second century and work our way through this. You know, we're going to have to get it. We have to get it quickly. And God's, I mean, look what the adversary uses to be able to convince people to buy into his wrongness. Well, why don't we use what helps people understand quickly for people to surrender their life more quickly to God and to righteousness, you know? And Shawshank Redemption is where you have these people, they're in prison, their life's going on, you know, inside there, and they just get used to operating in the context of confinement. You know, they start, you know, doing laundry, eating food, having social situations, you know, reading books. Their biggest accomplishments are if they ask long enough, then finally somebody gives them a little bit of freedom. And this one particular man in there was wanting a library, and he was wanting some different things, and he'd write like a letter a week for 7 years or something. Yeah. And finally they said, okay, we'll let you teach us Sunday school. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, no, it kind of, anyway, so they give him, you know, a check for $100 or something and send him some used books. And say, okay, we solved this, stop writing us. And so he goes, well, now I'm going to write him 2 letters a week. And that's and when you're in captivity, you know, just small little things make huge differences. And what this particular man who I'm talking about was kind of, I guess, the key role player or whatever. I'm not good with the people who they are. But he had a vision for the outside. His heart, even though his body was on the inside, his heart was on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so he would constantly help the guys who've been confined for so long talk about, you know, it's outside. Mm-hmm. You know, a young guy comes in, he, you know, didn't finish his school or whatever. And so he helped him get his high school diploma and helps him build vision for the outside. But of course, the warden, who is a very religiously lost evil dude, kills this guy, and he just kills any hope. And he uses the talents of his prisoners to be able to increase his gain and his wealth. But that we're not talking about all that. That's a whole other story. I'm talking about Black. His name was Black, and he was an older guy, and he's been institutionalized now all of his life. Mm-hmm. And he knew that it was coming time for him to be free. To live life on the outside. And so he just wanted to deliver the library books, and he just knew how to function in confinement. He knew how to be institutionalized, and he was really well. And so they had this disturbance that was happening inside the prison, and they go running because they have like a little clique, you know, their friends and stuff are together, and they go find out what's going on. They find out it's Black. You know, he's probably in his 60s maybe, and he's got a penknife, a little small penknife at somebody's throat. He's holding him back, and he's going, he's just terrified. This man's terrified. And then they take him and put him, I guess, in solitaire or something of that nature. And they're discussing Black in the prison yard where you can exercise and all. Mm-hmm. And some people are criticizing him, but one of the men who's been very institutionalized, he begins to say that no, you don't understand. He's just institutionalized. Mm-hmm. That's all he knows is the institution. He's terrified. He's terrified to step outside. He just, the unknown. He doesn't know. He would rather live in what he's used to, even in captivity, even if he gets another charge on him, even if they have to think bad of him, even if he's got to go through 13 more years of counseling with the pastor's, you know, therapy,
right,
that he'd rather do that than to go out in this freedom. And he was terrified. He was scared. He was so terrified of freedom. He didn't know. He knows how to be institutionalized, but he doesn't know how to be free. He doesn't know how to be free. And he understands somebody telling him when he can use the bathroom. He understands telling him that you have to wash these dishes. Somebody telling him it's time to go to bed. He understands it's time. So, you know, you need to be here at 8:15 and you need to be finished up by 8:16. And we're going to be out of here eating pot roast at 8:18. I mean, they got to have some. They're institutionalized. And so long story short is they free him. And you're watching this older man very, you know, just somebody, you think of your grandfather or something. And when you understand, yet you have compassion for him and you understand he was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see him stepping out with his briefcase or something and his couple bucks. This is like in the 60s, I think, or 40s. And he steps over the threshold and you see his black shoe step over that threshold and you can just kind of feel his anxiety. He's looking around and now he's out of the building, John.
Wow.
He's out of the building. This is the unknown territory. Is this same God who we talked about in confinement, is he out here anywhere? Right?
That's right.
And so then he goes and he gets into a halfway house. And that's what the church, look, don't put down halfway houses because the church is going to have to, we're going to have to develop halfway houses. Halfway houses is when you're half out of confinement and half into freedom. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to be able to jump straight from confinement, captivity, to freedom because you're not going to know how to operate it. You're going to need a transition house. You're going to need a transition family. You're mm-hmm. going to need somebody say, no. That may have worked in captivity, but out here, you have to have a fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can act a fool in the jail, but you act a fool out here, Ananias, and it'll cost you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
So you need a transition house. You need a halfway house. And so he moved into a halfway house. You know, he wasn't all the way free and he wasn't all the way captive. And he goes and gets a job. And the job that they give him is bagging groceries. And they didn't think he was moving fast enough. He would ask permission, you know, things like, you know, can I go tell somebody about Jesus? No. He'd ask permission, like, can I use the bathroom right now? He says, stop asking me when you need to go to the bathroom. Stop asking me, is it time to pray?
Mm-hmm.
Stop asking me, can you read your Bible? Stop asking me, can you go witness to somebody? Stop asking me, can you go preach the gospel? This is what you do naturally out here in freedom. You're free under God. This is what you do. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know. All he knew was confinement. He needed somebody mentoring him and helping him in the halfway house to say, listen, you're not crazy. I understand. You've been institutionalized. All you know, and you got to convince them because all he wanted to do was go back. I just want to be back in the prison again. Right, where things are predictable. I didn't care if they put me in there for 20 years. As long as I don't have to come out here where there's lions, tigers, and bears.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. As long as I don't have to go out here where the wolves are, that's going to cost me something. As long as I personally don't have to have a relationship with God, but somebody else can, and tell me what he's saying. Because if you don't have a fear of God, you need a fence. You need confinement. You need captivity because you'll die.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like a fear of God that keeps you in alignment with what, you know, what he tells us to do. And so then he just becomes so overwhelmed with it. He becomes so overwhelmed with this, Black does, that he goes to the halfway house and he takes his knife and he writes on this header in the room that he was in. It says, Black was here. And then he takes a rope. He stands on a table, and all they show you is his feet at this point. And he's standing on this table where he's taking the rope, and he's tying a noose. And then he kicks the table out from under his feet. And this man who was freed from captivity, this man who had all this freedom, who could have lived all this life, chose death over freedom.
Wow.
And let me tell you something. we're going to need to rethink church. Listen, I can't help believe, and I pray that I'm wrong, but I can't help believe, because I've talked to a lot of the captives, that it is an institutionalized captive church. I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm not talking about, you know, doing your own thing. There's no system. I mean, we're doing God's thing. That's what you're supposed to do. He's our Lord. He's our leader. He's our shepherd. We submit to him in everything. I mean, he's the one. But then he has his form of family government, you know. And right now the government is basically, imagine, you know, prison wardens. And I literally heard, you know, these leaders over these institutions, some say, and I'm not telling it that they're not. I mean, you need somebody to lead it. If everybody wants to run into captivity, somebody's got to manage the orphanage. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Thank God for the lady who gave me oatmeal when I needed it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying anything negative about that. But if you're so terrified, and remember this, don't think about the church as whole in the concept of accountability. Understand, you will answer alone before God by yourself. No witnesses, no suspects. What you did with this Jesus you profess to know. So you can't say, well, you know, they only let me pass out books. They only let me use the bathroom at a certain time. They only let me preach something. What? No, you were terrified. You were terrified. And let me tell you something. If you don't understand this, you're going to get so upset when people look you square in the eye, and the truth is they'd rather kill themselves than to be free. Mm-hmm. They'd rather die in captivity. Please, please, no, don't let me come outside the building. It's like the building wasn't even here. It was just a place. And it's like, what do you do for the other 6.5 days of the week? I mean, what do you do? Oh, I'm in darkness. Mm-hmm. I only come in here to do light things. But out there, I do dark things. And because you read the Word of God, when you read the book of Acts, it's about a free people under the leadership of Jesus Christ, who God moves amongst us and deals with us and loves us, and people fear coming amongst our number. It's Ananias and Sapphira, you know, who God knew their intentions. And even though they thought they were dealing with man, they were dealing with God, and God dealt with them. It's about Eli, who's been very religious, and people have been making money off his soothsayingness. But it's about Paul turning to Eli and say, be blind. And everybody sees this man who professed to know some God is not. There's no structure in the context of that. There's structure in the context of love. It's love that holds us together. Listen, that movie, and I'm telling you, the whole thing from the beginning to the end in the version, I guess the TV version I saw, you know, and don't, I mean, it, I have no, I can't answer for it, but Pat says there's some things that you don't need to have, you see, but it's prison. And you're wondering why all these weird things are happening to the church. It's because the church is in captivity. Anything, you know, passion denied perverts. Things held in a tight place for too long starts twisting and turning and all that. We're supposed to be free, not rebellious free, but we're supposed to be advancing the kingdom of God. He says, listen, he says, go into all the world. We're the go-e church, not the come-e church. You keep inviting people to your box while you refuse to get out of it. You keep inviting people to your prison, and the reason why they don't come, it doesn't make sense. They're thinking, what are you doing? You're like captive. I don't want to get in that building with you. Last I knew you before you were in that building. Ever since you went in that building, I never seen you again. And now you can't even relate to him anymore. You can't relate to me anymore. And that's what Black was. Black was like, I've been out of the world so long, I don't know how to relate to people in the world. I don't know how to function. And it's like, no, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You're supposed to have empathy for me and reach me, because God loves me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. So you need to come to me while I'm yet sinning and tell me that he loves me, and tell me that he loves me and he has a plan for my life, that he'll forgive my sin. While I'm dripping with my prostitution and religion's throwing me at the feet of Jesus, you look at me and say, where, you know, he that's without sin cast the first stone. But I'm sitting here getting thrown down by religious folk in the streets, being stoned in the streets while you're in captivity.
Terrified to share your testimony.
Terrified. And you have to understand now, the halfway house is very important. The transition. Right now, we got to transition ourselves from being under Pharaoh, under Egypt's captivity, to being free under God's form of government, which is family government. It was he that gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to be able to train God's people to live free for works of service, to go into the field. It is not, I mean, there's been some awesome Easter plays, but there's been some awesome movies as well. You know, I mean, it's more than that. It's your life. I want to see your life. I want to see how you're married. I want to see how you spend your money. I want to see how you deal with stress and anxiety. I want to see how you vote. I want to see how you live your day-to-day life. I want to walk in unexpectedly, and I want to see if you're the same person that you were when I saw you when you were expecting me. I want to know your life. I want to see your light. But you only do that in captivity. I don't even know. If you did not dress up in some, you know, Sunday school suit, I would have never known you were as a believer.
Controlled environments.
Controlled. And listen, I can relate to this. I used to run a prison. I used to be a deputy, and I was so institutionalized in regards to the church that if you didn't go to the building, you just felt very awkward.
That's right.
But you didn't feel awkward 6.5 days a week that you weren't, the time weren't there on the billboard to be in the building.
Right.
And it's like, why do you feel awkward when the warden says to be here at this certain time and you're not? And I'm just talking about a spirit of things. You know, I love the body of Christ, but listen, God's called you to be free. We need help. We need light in the world. And God allowed the church to be persecuted in Jerusalem just so they get out the buildings in Jerusalem. You know, the houses, they'll go. And if that persecution was not allowed by God, that means the apostleship would not have stayed there. James, all of them would have been removed. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The leadership of the church stayed in Jerusalem, and while the people who were just comfortable and convenient and said, we're just going to stay right here, we're not going to go to the uttermost parts, they were actually scattered. Mm-hmm. And what's about to happen, let me tell you what's about to happen, and I believe that's why, you know, we're here talking to you, is you're about to be scattered. But you listen, you're going to be like black. You're not going to, it's not like, you know, God's hating on you. God's freeing you. But you're going to feel like black. Lions, tigers, and bears.
Oh, my.
Oh, lions, tigers, and bears, right?
Right.
And so you're going to have to realize that there is no wizard behind the curtain running things. There is a God who will speak to you. And you can abide with him, and he'll teach you every step of the way what you need to do. When you hear us talk about abiding at iabide.org is a great plan for you to be able to get. We're talking about learning to hear his voice. You cannot live in freedom if you can't hear his voice. You're going to be right into one captivity to the next captivity. It's a different kind of captivity.
Yeah.
When you read about the call, the prophetic vision of the call with Rick Joyner, when he wrote that, he's talking about people were in prison and their cliques, and they didn't even know they were in prison. And so you started talking to them. But when you talk to them, then they would lighten up. They go, yes, that's right. But as soon as you'd walk away, they go back in darkness again. Then if you got vision, if you got the ability to see, you're in this big prison wall. This is the church, how he describes it. And God showed him in a vision. Then you would start to go over the wall. But on the wall were teachers. Mm-hmm. And they, if they found out you had vision, they'd start shooting at you. This is all a vision. This is God showing a picture of what things are like. And they start shooting because you're not supposed to get out of the walls. Mm. And I've heard very specifically said, when I see somebody going astray, when I see somebody leaving my building, I throw a stick at them and hit them with it.
Mm.
You know, speaking in a metaphorical way, he said. I mean, say that word, but I'm assuming he's saying metaphor. Yeah.
You're assuming he's not throwing something at him, right?
And to hit him, to make him come back. That's an institutional, that's a prison, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus let them go and even turned to the 12 around him and said, what about you? Are you going to go next? You are holding God's people in confinement for your own personal gain. Sorry, that's what you're doing. You teach people together. You don't control people together. You teach them God's ways. You teach them how to abide with God. You encourage them, but it's God that does the convicting. It's the Holy Spirit that does the directing and the comforting and the instructing and the reminding. And the sad thing is that if you didn't force them to stay with you, they probably wouldn't be with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's right.
And if it's being with you and not being with God, I think it's a good thing. So at least they can go out and know where they're at to begin to possibly pursue a relationship with God instead of a relationship with religion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I really sense in my spirit as we begin to rethink church that begin to get in the Word. Read the book of Acts when we're talking about this and just start reading and see yourself in the book of Acts. Realize that's the church and what's happening. And think about Black when he was getting freed from this institution. That don't, you know, people would rather kill you than tell you they're afraid. You know, what part of don't you say, I'm not going to tell you that I'm actually terrified to step out in my neighborhood and talk about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what part am I going to tell you that I'm trying to work overtime so you please don't make me go out there and tell somebody and be the light in the world? Mm-hmm. You know, that I indebt myself so I can tell you that I have to work more and I need more money.
Mm-hmm.
What, top 3% of the world in income in America? Come on.
Yeah, right.
That, I mean, all these excuses and they realize is, the reality is that it's like Black. So you need a halfway house. I mean, it's going to be difficult unless you were already seeing and functioning like the one guy was, freedom in his heart, and he understood how to be free because he was free before that. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to probably need some transition. And God's putting people together, I believe, across the land. And one thing he's done with the VFN family, you know, is how to trans. You know, we wouldn't think you're crazy when you start talking about captivity like it is normal. We'll just kind of smile and go, yeah, that's yeah. Yeah. Is that when they let you teach Sunday school? Okay, cool. Let's get some food to talk. And so you need that transition where people are going to relate to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, you're just going to have to be the church. You know, God will only hold your hand for so long. I mean, you got to choose who you're going to serve. And because we've been in captivity, we don't know how to act free. We don't know how to be free. We don't understand that abiding is not an option. It is a mandate, and it's the only way that we can survive in the context of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, rethinking the church, begin to rethink it. Rethink it in the context of his word, not some weird thing out here, not some books outside the Bible, but in your prayer and hanging out with people who understand freedom in God is following Jesus Christ. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at vfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at vfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.